I want to play Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, poor Steve.
I'll show you, Grandpa.
Pac-Man is a video game cartridge you have to buy separately to play on the Atari video computer system. Your parents hook it up to the TV.
Those are supposed to be the ghosts after Pac-Man. Watch out, Grandpa. Stick with me. You'll get the hang of it.
This is the Atari video computer system. Pac-Man and other video game cartridges are each sold separately.
You're listening to the BBC. Ladies and gentlemen, there has been a startling development. Clone Tony Wolf and clone producer Mike have been disposed of. Jon Favreau, the Hollywood director, found out that they covered the sparsely attended Iron Man 2 premiere at the New York City Ziegfeld Theater and had their bodies thrown into a landfill. As a result, the Action Room radio program will now be brought to you by the actual Tony Wolf and producer Mike. We now join the Action Room, already in progress. Wow. That was quite an adventure, producer Mike, for us, huh?
I thought that was amazing. This is the real producer Mike.
We did say that last week we'd be replaced by British actors, and so here we are in the Action Room.
Dude, I'm serious about this. I figured out a way how we can make it in America.
How?
Pretend we're British.
Because British are cool, right? They're
Dude,
exotic.
It's like actors, singers. It's like, yes. I guarantee you, some of these British actors and singers that are famous now are really Americans, just pretending to be British.
Right.
Because the thing is, you can pretend you're British, and then
no one will know.
And give yourself an... Because most of your roles are going to be American accents.
Right.
So you do American... People will think it's an amazing American accent.
Exactly.
So I figured it out. So I think from now on, we really should do everything in a British accent.
Okay. So, that's anyway. The new... That's
Starting
the new
next
key.
Week.
Starting next week. Exactly.
No,
because
okay.
I was so traumatized by those clone versions of us replacing us for a week
I
went to a mental institution. I don't know what to do.
Well, speaking of that...
Speaking of mental institutions...
that last episode...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we do broadcast now from a mental institution. That's
yes.
where
the
we...
Action Room studio has moved to a rubber
we
room.
We got a studio, but it's unfortunately in a mental institution. We can't be picky.
Last episode, you were going to talk about the Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah, it was a big hit.
Yeah.
Big hit across the internet world.
It shook waves. It created thunderclaps across the internet.
And basically...
So we talked about... Michael Jackson, there was the news story that he wanted to buy Marvel, and there was an audio tape of a voice
phone
message.
Recording, yeah.
Right. So we had in the Action Room exclusive recordings, which you can listen to on our archive, the previous episode, and so we had three other voicemails where Michael Jackson showed that he was a trend predictor.
Did they kind of sound like this a little bit?
I think he did, producer Mike.
So, Afua Richardson, who is a good friend of the show, the artist of Top Cow's hit book Genius, also a terrific singer-songwriter in her own right, and a former co-host of The Action Room.
She's at the first 1.0 version of The Action Room. So if you check out any of those episodes, she's on those.
And she has been endorsed by Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis is a big fan of hers.
Yes.
She listened to this episode.
She's also very attractive. Easy on the eyes.
She's awesome. She's been on Jimmy Fallon, singing with Harmar Superstar, another guy that we're big fans of on The Action Room. Anyway, she did an audio response. She said that she didn't like us making fun of Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, and she said that he channeled himself through her from the great beyond, from the afterlife, to bring us this very special message.
This better impersonation, too, I think.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, someone said that our Michael Jackson sounded like Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Which you know, I
can
sort of see, but...
And I was going for almost a Mr. Bill or Mr. Hankey. Was it Mr. Hankey?
Howdy ho!
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Mr. Bill, it's funny, no one will get Mr. Bill, because that's
think
like
so,
so
he
early
came back.
80s.
Yeah, but he came back
oh,
with...
Oh, no!
He came back with a lot of, you know, like advertising.
T-shirts.
Like, he came back for some
some commercials.
Fast food joint. He was, you know.
You can Google him.
Joint.
Mr. Bill from Saturday Night Live.
Right,
a fast food joint, like a Spike Lee joint.
Okay, so here it is.
Clone Tony Wolf. Clone Tony Wolf. And clone producer Mike of the geek vessel known as... Action Room. This is the ghost of Michael Joseph Jackson. I have channeled my way through the abysmal dark of the great beyond, and I've moonwalked my way into the body of your former co-host, who is often late and not very talkative, Afua Richardson. I have a message for you, Action Room. I heard the things you said, making fun of me. I'll have you know that I was the most successful artist of all time. I don't need to prove myself to the likes of your puny Earth podcast. It's pretty nice here on the moon. I'm like the king. And nobody's heard of any of the rumors and the terrible things that people remember me for. All the zombie extras from Thriller who drank themselves into a depression after not doing much with their career are here. Some of my old pet monkey. Not now, Bubba. Elvis. Even James Brown, whose hair looks much better than his mugshot. Anyway, I'll be watching you, Action Crew. You wanna be starting something? You got to be starting something. You mock me again, Action Crew, and I just... Well, It makes me want... I'll be back at you.
Why didn't she put that effort into the show when she was on it? That's what I want to know.
Now we want her to, like, just provide lots of sound bits, comedy bits for us. Afua, if you're listening, I think you are because we're playing your bit. Please contribute more stuff like that because we loved it.
Please add sound engineer to your list of
And Action things. Listeners, if anyone wants to be as enterprising as Afua Richardson and create a little comedy bit or audio bit to play on our show, send it in. And if we think it's good enough, we will play it. That's how democratic the Action Room is.
And not even that. If we receive it, we'll play it.
If you send anything, right, we'll play it.
Pretty much.
And we'll also mention just real quick that we are having a sort of not quite Action Room idol, but we are beginning to interview and talk to women to be an Action Room guest co-host. Because we've been without a female co-host for quite some time.
Yeah,
now.
Some people may ask, why women? And that's we're men. That's
why.
Yeah,
we have two men. We want a female perspective. We've had three female co-hosts before, and they've always brought something interesting and unique to the show. That come on, you got two male geeks in a room. Don't you need more than that? I think you might.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So you can write to us on Twitter or Facebook. We've already been in touch with a few wonderful. We want someone who is witty, articulate, funny, and would be interesting on the radio, and very geek knowledgeable, geek friendly, and sharp. You got to keep up with us.
Yes, because we're so quick. And
we're so quick.
And speaking of people that sit in on the show
and are quick,
after the break, we're going to have Helen, and she's going to do her second 80s cartoon intro medley.
Acoustic guitar. She's the best.
The last one was great. This one is probably going to be even better.
Yeah, check out the previous one in our archive. She's awesome. She brings it. She's totally quality. We'll have Helen right after the break.
Oh, and let's go into the break with Afua's song, Not Quite.
I am not quite what you think I am. I'm not what I seem. One day too late, you'll know exactly what. I'm so much more than what you make me out to be.
I want to be the best like no one ever was. To catch them all is my test. To train them is my cause. Pokemon. Whoa, I'm sorry, guys. Sorry.
See, what's interesting to me is that we're somewhat 80s, 70s kids and stuff, and one of your favorite is Pokemon? That's from like 2000 or something.
No, it's from 90-something. 90-something.
Oh, yeah.
Early 90s.
I was in high school, yeah.
But still, why?
You know what it was? I was always watching the Batman animated series.
Right. Right.
Which was on Saturday morning. Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, the DC Animated World.
That definitely
and that
got...
was on right after it or before it.
Okay.
And I watched it like twice or three times, and I was like, this is actually decently written for a silly kids cartoon.
Right.
And the song infected me forever.
But the Batman cartoon was definitely the thing that got our generation back into cartoons, I think.
Oh, I would not have been up on a Saturday morning at 9:30 if not for the Batman show. Because this is pre-VCRs. I mean, I didn't own a VCR. I'm sure they existed back in 92. Well, 92.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I had one in the 80s.
Yeah, I had one too.
Not in my post-college life. You know. Let's bring it all back home, as Bob Dylan was so excellent at doing. I started singing Pokemon because I was so excited that Helen from HelenToons.com has returned to sing 80s cartoon songs for us.
Yay, for me.
So I just love the Pokemon song so much, I wanted to sing it for you, Helen.
Oh, I like that. Thank you.
So what did you pick this time for your second medley?
Yes, now on a previous episode, if you want to go back and find it in the archives, she did a wonderful medley of G.I. Joe, right? Transformers, mm-hmm. and what was the third one?
Thundercats.
We're going to still try to do a video for that, for the Thundercats G.I. Joe medley.
Yeah.
But this new one is...
is a bunch of cartoons I've never seen before that you gave to me in the list. Silverhawks, Mask, which is sort of like Transformers, sort of.
Kind of, yeah.
Hmm.
And then Kid Video, which I sort of remember one.
And Gem, or Gem is not...
No, Gem wasn't. Okay. I was mistaken. No, it was Silverhawks instead.
Yeah. Okay.
Silverhawks was the next
one. I actually don't know Silverhawks.
Are you... Wow.
See, this is... I didn't know Mask that well.
We're finding a gap between Tony and I. You think there's not much of an age difference, but those 4 years make a big difference.
I am
difference.
Older, and I did not know Silverhawks. I barely knew Mask. I knew Mask existed. I think at the time I just thought it was cheesy and I never watched it. And I barely watched Kid Video.
Helen has an excuse. She lived on a farm on the moon. But Tony...
and
Tony,
she's also younger than both of us.
No, but I think she still would have known some of these things. Tony, for what was it? So what is your explanation for the gap of not knowing...
I was always in rehearsal for shows in junior high school and high school.
A Glee geek.
I was a high-achieving student. I was always studying, reading, or in rehearsal for shows, singing, music, acting.
So
I had a life, Producer Mike.
First half of your life, you were stuck reading comic books. Second half, you were stuck doing theater.
Yes, I was out there in the world. The only thing I went out of my way to do,
And now you're stuck doing Twitter. Now what?
And now I'm stuck doing Twitter in the Action Room studio. I don't understand. So.
Anyway, all right. So what did you think of these lyrics and the songs in general and the intros? Because
did they move you, Helen?
Yeah. Well, my favorite. Well, from these three. Okay. So. Silverhawks, I thought
Silverhawks
was really
I
great,
had to
actually.
Give you.
Yeah.
Silverhawks was done by the same company that did Thundercats.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of the
not
second...
Not Bandai. That was a big animation
No, not
studio.
Bandai. It was like the secondary... They were also the same people that did the movie The Last Unicorn.
Oh.
And, yeah. And they also did a third one that actually Brandon and some of these comic book artists we know who are younger than me knew of more. And it was some kind of like cat... thing. I don't remember. Not Thundercats, but it was some... Maybe it wasn't cats. I don't know. It was dogs. SWAT dogs or something.
Not surprising, given the 90s.
But it was like the third cartoon that these Thundercats, Silverhawks people did.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So, and you liked it. You thought it was...
I mean, the song was really interesting because, I mean, I might be mistaken, but listening to the singers, they sound like a bunch of black ladies, like three black ladies singing.
Right,
which
right,
I'm
right.
like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Why not? And when they sing Silverhawks, there's sort of like a screech, like a kind of robot screech of a hawk.
Like an eagle, right, right. but a robot.
Yeah,
eagle.
Like a robot eagle.
Tally-ho!
And I really, really like that.
That's their battle cry, yeah. Tally-ho.
How's it go? Silver hawk.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's like Thundercats ho.
Yeah, yeah.
Tally-ho is the British, though.
They needed that. And then, what was the next one?
Okay, Mask was really interesting because I thought it totally sounded like what I call butt rock. I don't know.
Like 80s hair metal rock?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Butt rock?
Yeah, that's what we called it.
Because it was the butt of everyone's jokes, or it's just that's like...
I don't know how we came up in college, me and my friends.
Butt rock.
We'd say
have
butt
you
rock.
Seen that term used anywhere else, or did you guys create it?
I think, I don't know.
That's
don't
a
know.
Helen
an awesome.
And her friend
I like that.
Term. Well, since I did some Action Room research, being a diligent chap that I am, diligent fellow, I listened to the Kid Video introduction today and Mask, and I just thought 80s hair band or 90s hair band,
definitely.
Almost like that band The Darkness.
Yes.
Maybe the Darkness should do a cover also.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well, the band's not together anymore.
Oh, really? Oh.
I know some weird history about them.
Well, yeah, that's odd. Oh. I was a really big fan of theirs. All right, okay. so you liked Mask, but it was butt rock.
Yeah, which is fine.
And Kid Video is probably, to me, the most 80s of 80s.
Totally.
It is,
I think you're right.
If you want something that represents the 80s more than anything else, more than Saved by the Bell, more than Michael Jackson,
it reeks
80s. Kid Video is it. And because, besides the opening, which is basically these kids who are live action turning into cartoons.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
You'll be my musical slave.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Like, what is the musical slave?
What I was trying to explain to somebody the other day, because I was showing them some old commercials from the 80s. One of them was like a Hi C commercial with Alyssa Milano.
Okay.
She did. Oh. Yeah, it's always 50s inspired. Bo, 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 hi, Steve. You know, something like that.
Right.
And what's funny is, she was like, it makes no sense. I was like, that's the one thing about the 80s. Nothing made sense.
Right.
But that's why
no
it was
logic.
So great.
No.
But,
why do we wear biker shorts?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It
was very inspired by the 50s. A good merge is Streets of Fire, that movie done by Walter Hill, the guy that did The Warriors, where it's this, they call it a fairy tale land where it's a mix of the 80s and the 50s. Mm. So you have these pompadours with skinny ties and stuff. It's like really funny. And neon.
Well,
totally.
Mark Millar/Mylar made the point, and I guess it's very true, and we see this. The entertainment industry will tend to recreate its childhood. So the 80s film directors, writers, they grew up in the 50s.
John Hughes, George Lucas.
Landis, everything is tinged, Spielberg with them, with the movies and entertainment that they saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Sam Raimi, someone like a Sam Raimi comes along and he produces, you know, kind of comic book 60s sensibility.
So what do we do? We're doing 80s.
We're doing
80s. Totally.
And look at this very show.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, it's so meta. We are doing
80s. So 80s butt rock.
Bring on the action room butt rock.
I gave you a good word.
The other thing, I love it now. That's all I'm going to say now is butt rock. ladies and gentlemen, butt rock.
We're going to create a Twitter page for butt rock.
Right.
But the Kid Video thing, the other thing cool about the show was that they would have these videos, like live action videos of the kids doing, you know, because MTV was
because they were
back
a rock
then.
Band.
Yeah, and it was like, or pseudo rock band.
Every 80s cartoon had to have a rock band involved.
Speaking of, anyway, all right, well, I won't, I'll, you know, if you get me started on the 80s, I'll never stop. So what did you think about that, Helen, Kid Video?
Kid Video was really funny. There's a scene where the singer pulls the plastic off this mirror.
Right.
And in my head, I'm like, why are you guys in a warehouse? And like, when he pulls the plastic off, you're like, oh, you're totally trying to be, that guy that sneered all the time in the 80s.
Billy Idol.
Billy Idol. Yeah, it's like, you are trying to be Billy Idol, but you're like 12, you know?
Yeah, that's what's so great is like, they put people in scenarios that make no sense.
No
sense.
Oh.
The biggest, the one that's iconic, or like a great example of that is
Wolf?
Turbo Teen.
Turbo Teen.
Where basically all that happens, this is in the intro.
Is it a movie? Is it a cartoon?
No, it's a cartoon from that era. It's one of the lamest cartoons where a guy's driving his car, his sports car, his red sports car, and down a road, and it hits some kind of science experiment where he gets merged with his car, and he can turn into his car. It is the most retarded thing.
So he's like a talking car? Like Knight Rider?
No,
or?
But he can be a man and then also turn into a car.
So he's like a werewolf, but turns into a car, not a werewolf.
Exactly.
Like
Turbo
Watchmen
really
in the Dr. Manhattan
exactly.
turning into a
that's
car.
That's what
the
he's spoofing,
thing.
Yeah.
Also, Pole Position didn't make much sense because they were race car drivers, but they solve crimes
right,
also.
Right, right, right. They always have to solve crimes. I mean, what could you
and
make?
And even Mass, right? It's like fighting crime or something.
Yeah, fight crime.
And everything was in the danger zone, I think. All the lyrics.
The danger zone.
But Pole Position, how much could you make out of a video game that looked like that?
I know. And they had an uncle, and they're like, only their uncle knows.
They
know their secret that they are actually crime fighters.
I think Pole Position is your next medley. But
Wait, I want Pole Position and Jem.
Yeah.
Okay.
You and Jem is a match made in heaven.
Yeah definitely.
True.
And the funny thing is they always...
We are the misfits. We're gonna fuck her up, yeah.
They always... that was the uncensored version.
Yes.
They always had like a little ferret squirrel character they would add to the cartoon.
Like a cutesy
you
character.
You have to find... At the end, they tell you where it was in the episode. It's like, where's Waldo?
Oh, right. On Pole Position?
Well, Pole Position, they added one.
Who had a ferret?
Also, they added... They were some amalgam of a rat.
But, I mean, what show had this?
Sorry, I'm thinking of She-Ra. Sorry.
She-Ra also, but...
They had a ferret?
Well, not a ferret.
some cute
creature,
girl,
a creature, yeah.
But it was like a made up ferret. Like,
yeah,
it was like a fictional ferret.
It was sort of like a gremlin sort of.
Right.
No, the cute one.
Check me out on Twitter.
Where's the ferret?
My name is Fictional Ferret. Fictional Ferret does butt rock. But, the other one was when Punky Brewster became a cartoon, she all of a sudden had this weird gerbil character.
A magical friend.
It was magical, totally.
Yeah.
It made no sense. Anyway, Helen's mind is exploding from all these vague memories from
it is
her childhood.
Kind of.
Wow.
All right, so anyway, so.
Okay.
Do you have any last words before you
any last words
before you completely embarrass yourself?
I would say that if anybody really likes these songs, or if anyone remotely likes these songs, you should YouTube them so you can see the originals, because I think it's more interesting if you know where
it comes from.
Yeah.
Yes, hearing them first.
Mm-hmm.
I always like how you sing conversational words before you sing your song.
So
there you find it.
So
where
I'd say
it comes from.
I do that in real life.
I say intro Helen in a kind of like
do?
Maybe a butt rock.
Okay.
You know, all arena right. voice like or you know.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate sacrifice. We're bringing you back to 1995. We got Helen of Helen Tunes. I want you to put your, what do you call these? The devil horns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want you to put your devil horns up for Helen of Helen Tunes.
Wings of silver, nerves of steel, silver hawks. Partly metal, partly real, silver hawks. Soaring through the highways of the heavens of their flight. Silver hawks, a rainbow in the night. Rings of silver, nerves of steel, silver hawks. Partly metal, partly real, silver hawks. Silver hawks. Mass crusaders working overtime, fighting crime, secret raiders who will neutralize just as soon as they arrive at the site. Tracker's gonna lead the mission, and Spectrum's got the supervision. Mask is a mighty power that can save the day. Mask, no one knows what lies behind the masquerade. Mask, always riding high on Venom's trail. Come see the laser rays fire away. Yeah, it's getting me going, it's keeping me moving on, hooked on my system. I'm playing on and on, people say I'm crazy, cause I'm always on my own. Half eyes around me, high tech just turns me on. From my video to my radio, it's gonna be rocking, it's gonna be moving on. From my video to my radio.
Woo! The studio audience is going wild.
That was so awesome. The only thing, can we just do the kid video one more time and sing
balance?
It with you?
Yeah, sure.
From my video to my radio.
Okay, let's do that going into the break. We'll be back with the nerd
oh
news.
Oh, my Lord.
And
you
Helen,
moved me to tears with Silverhawks, and then
know,
you
right?
rocked me out with math.
There was three emotions going on there.
I know. Each song evoked. Each listener, I know, their soul was pulled out through the internet.
And I'm sorry, you don't have to know the originals. That's just solid
yeah.
songwriting
also,
right there.
Also, the kid video song, was it actually, because my memory of it is dim, I feel like that was a song like on the actual radio. It wasn't?
It could have been.
I don't know.
It could have been.
It was
it
from
totally could have
it was
been.
From your video to your radio. So
yes.
It could have been.
All right. So give us the chorus.
But yeah, do it, and we'll go into the break from this. And again, Helen, you did it again. I can't wait for the next one. All right.
Awesome.
So here we go.
A coup de grace, Helen.
Should we start from the beginning or
no, just kid video.
Just kid
let's,
video.
Let's do kid video.
From a video.
Wait. No.
From the beginning
from the beginning of kid video.
Beginning of kid
video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting me going. It's keeping me moving on. Hooked on my system. I'm playing on and on. People say I'm crazy, cause I'm always on my own. High fives around me. High tech just turns me on. From my video to my radio.
Woo! Okay. Yeah, to my radio, we'll take a break.
People say I'm crazy, cause I'm always on my own. High fives around me, I get to turn me on. From my video to my radio. Cause
okay, action fans. Well, we are back in the action room, and I'm Tony Wolf.
I thought you were going to sing with the song.
I've done so much singing this episode, I felt like I should spare our audience.
Because you remember Pac-Man Fever.
I know every word of Pac-Man Fever. But I taped it on an audio cassette in 1983.
Not only do you remember the song, you remember having Pac-Man Fever.
Oh, my God. I remember, I think the first time... Let me take you back, action fans. Can we have, like, flashback music?
Let's just preface this by saying it is the 30th anniversary of Pac-Man.
Yes.
And we are old enough to
have experienced it. I first saw Pac-Man... Oh, it was a beautiful day. I was getting pizza with my parents.
Dude, mine was in a pizzeria,
yes!
too.
They were all in pizza joints. We say joints a lot in this episode. I was getting pizza in Baldwin, New York. You can look it up. It's in Long Island.
Alec Baldwin, New York.
Alec Baldwin, New York, yes. Although he grew up in Eastern Long Island.
Ah.
I'm going to meet him one day, and when I'm a star.
I'm realizing everybody comes from either England or Long Island.
Or Canada.
Or Canada.
Or Canada. The real quality people. But I saw it there, and I was fascinated.
Across a crowded room.
Across a crowded pizza room. It was actually an empty pizza place. And I just, what struck me first was the art on the side of the stand-up arcade game. I had never seen...
We had
seen
that same experience.
Iconic. That's why we're friends. You know?
I remember because the pizza place, it was so cool. It had a room just for video games. It was a small little room. The place now is a pet store, but it was a pizzeria called Clancy's. I remember
Back in the day, they actually had separate rooms just devoted to arcade games in candy stores and pizza places and diners and, you know...
Yeah, no,
and just the noises, also the music.
Yeah.
That opening song. And all the noises.
You said you were done with your singing.
I'm sorry. I had one more. It was one more inside me.
No, but what I was going to say is what's weird is back then I didn't remember how video games worked. Because I was, whatever you were, I was probably 4 years younger than that. So it was like, I remember.
You didn't know how to use the joystick?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Did you have to actually manipulate the mouth to open and close? You know, like I didn't know that a joystick just did everything
for you.
You
have to jiggle the joystick up and down.
Because I even remember seeing Donkey Kong and being like, how do you actually go up the ladder? I didn't realize it was just up, and that would do everything. You know? And that's what's funny, I think, now with video games now, is having gotten used to things being so simple, now everything really is literally like grab it and do this. And
you
have
to do
that.
Every single movement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway,
there's one game where I have to do AABBXX44 just to pick my nose.
right. Well, let's do the nerd news intro.
Nerd news.
The thing that obviously caught our eye
and shocked the internet.
That you caught your eye, Tony.
I caught early on.
Was the Google Doodle.
Google page.
It's called the Google Doodle though. It's the first interactive Google Doodle. And what was it? As if nobody else knows.
Oh, good. It was a playable Pac-Man game that actually said insert coin, which was so funny.
Now, if
I discovered this, I was one of the first people on Twitter, I think, just by luck of the draw, to have come across it. Because I looked to Google, and suddenly I saw it. And it was like 1:32 p.m. on Friday.
It pays
off. Suddenly, within 15 minutes, everyone was going, oh my God, Google has a playable Pac-Man!
This is where it pays off to be on Twitter 24/7 like you are.
On Twitter,
Twitter. Doesn't make you a Twitter.
This will be the new sequel to Twitter. Twitter.
Right.
It's the twin of Twitter. Oh!
I feel like Andrew Dice Clay!
Now also if you didn't get it because it's not up anymore, you can download it. I downloaded it.
I thought it was still up today.
No, it's off now.
Playable Pac-Man.
And by the time this airs, it will be off.
Oh, that's
but
so sad.
But you can download it.
Really?
In any case,
So it was first released in Japan on May 22nd, 1980. Whoever's birthday is May 22nd. It's Pac-Man's birthday.
Yeah, I think John Lennon had just died. It was around that time. Right. So
this cheered the country up.
Namco created it, but it was licensed to Midway. Do we remember those names?
Bally Midway. Yeah. Yeah. Bally Midway, they originally... This is no research, folks. This is just from being a dork. Bally Midway was a major, major pinball company manufacturer, which I found out through my misspent youth spent in pinball machine places before video games took over my life.
Spending... a lot of quarters.
Spending countless quarters. Well, you know, for anyone who's above 30, the real thing, and maybe they still did this, actually, I'm sure they did, you would lay out your quarters on the game itself
to be the
to
next
like
one.
Claim your spot. Because there'd be like 10 people crowded around the game.
And there was actual respect back then.
Yeah.
And so the
as opposed to today, kids today.
The offshoot games were, you know, after Pac-Man was such a success that there were all these other
Ms. Pac-Man was a massive success.
I loved Ms. Pac-Man.
And the fact that Ms. Pac-Man had the different animations in between, like, every three racks. They used to call them racks, not boards
now
or screens.
The funny one, as they were...
I made it to the third rack!
They were... And it's funny, because it was Ms. Pac-Man.
It felt up a rack! And I have to say... Ms. Pac-Man, my favorite one, was the baby gets born.
Yeah.
And the baby gets delivered. First they meet and they bump into each other.
You had
other.
To be good if you got to the baby part.
Love
that
it.
Was good.
Love it.
But so they were, this is what I read up on. They were waiting for another one after Ms. Pac-Man called Super Pac-Man. But while they were waiting, they came up with Pac-Man Plus.
Yes.
Which was a bullshit upgrade called, Pac-Man Plus. And it was basically...
Wasn't
this,
it just faster or something?
Well, here's the deal. It had a few things. The maze is light green compared to the original blue. And Blinky is slightly cross-eyed, as if that was a big...
That completely justifies a new game.
And the fruits have been replaced by alternate objects, including a can of Coca-Cola, which the kids got hooked on
product
Coca-Cola.
Product placement.
Then Super Pac-Man,
these
which I
ones
remember,
I was really excited about. I remember seeing these.
Huge.
Yeah.
When he would eat a power pellet in the Super Pac-Man, he would become huge.
He would actually get, like, three sizes bigger.
Yeah. And then Baby Pac-Man.
Well, one of those, I don't remember, either Super Pac-Man or Baby Pac-Man, was... Half of it was a pinball machine, and the other half was a video game.
I think that
game.
Was Baby Pac-Man.
I love the fact that there was a combo.
Yeah, and I think Baby Pac-Man was also where it would scroll. The maze didn't fit on just one screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that was good stuff. Good
times.
Wow,
I'm having a geekgasm on
the
air.
Arcades were awesome. Speaking of 80s, another show was MacGyver.
Yes, big 80s show.
And MacGruber just came out. Now, I saw it.
Oh, you saw it?
I saw it.
And I hear it's terrific.
I thought it was fun. Now, here's the thing.
Uh-oh, I sense reservation
here's
producer Mike's voice.
I am a huge fan of Lonely Island, okay? Andy Samberg, the Dick in the Box, everything that they did before they even got to SNL on their site. And now,
does their site still exist?
Yeah, you can see their old site and their new site.
Okay.
But so I expected a lot from them. And the thing is, I'm such a fan of this kind of action 80s Stallone Commando kind of bullshit mentality.
It's a great parody of it.
That I was waiting for so much stuff. And what they did is they did everything you would want. They hit every note of how cheesy that time was and how cheesy those movies are. But I guess for me, I've been living in that mode of making fun of those movies
post-modern,
for so long.
Right.
I wanted more. You know, I wanted them to take it up to a next step. Now, for a
Bruce
lot of
Mike
people...
Mike always wants more. He wanted more from Kick-Ass. It wasn't crazy
Iron
enough
Man
for
2
him.
Iron Man 2 I loved, though.
Right.
I thought
That's
Iron Man
true.
2 was
That's
great.
True.
But, yeah, so I loved it. It was a lot more low budget than I thought it would be. You know, like, it was cheesy for that reason, trying to be low budget.
Right.
But it was almost even more low budget than I expected. But it was fun. Check it out. It's definitely worth watching.
MacGruber!
Now, speaking of MacGruber, is MacGyver, which we, you
they
know,
still
was based
do an,
on.
They still want to do an actual MacGyver
now,
movie.
Now, can you remember the song for MacGyver?
I don't know it at all.
And then... Dun, 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 dun. Wait, that sounds like every action movie from the 80s. It was good. It was with, what's his name? Who do you know?
Richard Dean Anderson.
Richard Dean Anderson.
Who is who was on Stargate.
Okay, right.
The TV show.
And recently,
it's fun when we get to hear producer Mike sing, though. I like that.
And recently, the other guy, I kind of get confused. Richard Dean Anderson and the guy who played Quantum Leap.
Oh my God, I love him.
But he played father of Chuck on Chuck just now.
Really?
He's come out again.
Oh, he's Quantum Leap. Oh my God, I know him. What the hell is his name? I'm blanking. I know him.
Anyway, we'll come back to that.
No, I have to think of it. It's not Jeff something. It's Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula.
Oh, I knew my geek powers would not fail me.
I guess we can end the show, and please end it in a BBC.
All right then, producer Mike. I'm Tony Wolf, signing off. For the Action Room. And who are you, Producer Mike?
Producer Mike.
All right, and we also, we would be remiss if we did not tell you that we have new shows, new radio-sodes, if you will, every Monday and Friday. They're always up first thing in the morning. And we also have...
While you eat your tea and crumpets.
While you take your early morning tea.
We shit.
We also have a Facebook fan page, which you can find on Facebook. We also have quite a considerable presence on the thing called Twitter. So Twitter us up, chaps, and write things to us while watching Doctor Who. We are signing off from Radio Free Europe, the Action Room.